Right. Well, really, this is the last really busy week for economic readings running into Christmas. And it is quite a busy week because we get inflation readings out in the United States. And we've got three central banks reporting this week, three key ones. And that's, of course, the Fed. We've also got the European Central Bank. And we've got the Bank of England. And all of them in that really tricky point, you know, have we got to a point where we can actually deliver smaller rate hikes yet? Or do we still have to have a last outsized one? And, you know, the market's still looking towards when these central banks can peak. But just looking at some of the data out of the US first that we got last week, and you'd have to say that on the readings we got, the economy is still not weak enough for the Fed to be in any way confident that they can get inflation down to target over time. So, you know, for example, we had the ISM, non-manufacturing PMI, came out for the month of November, the services sector, 90% of the US economy, and a leading indicator, and it's not coming down, it went up a bit. It's gone up to 56.5 from 54.4. So, you know, that still heralds, you know, strength ahead. At the end of the week, we had the December Michigan Consumer Sentiment, the preliminary reading of that, and that went up. You know, you'd think that that one should be coming down with all the pressure that's running through interest rates. It didn't. It went the opposite way. It was stronger than expected, true off a fairly low base, but it went up to 59.1 from 56.8. Then adding to the pressure, pipeline inflation pressure in the United States. We had the November producer price index came out, and you know, there was hope that, you know, this might come in around about 0.2% month on month, both for the headline producer price index and the core producer price index. It came in a bit above that, and so the headline PPI was 0.3, the core PPI was 0.4. So, you know, yes, you're bringing the annual rate down a little, but it's still going to linger in those higher levels unless you can get much lower month-on-month readings than that. And that's, you know, before you get to the CPI, which is obviously down the pipeline, and we'll be looking at that on Tuesday this week. Just something else which is remaining pretty high, just quarter-on-quarter unit labour costs in the United States. We had Q3 unit labour costs came out, and they're up another 2.4% quarter-on-quarter, back a little bit from 3.5% quarter-on-quarter, but unit labour costs are just running rampant at the moment. And so, again, not giving you much confidence that you know, inflation is yet in check. So we'll see what happens with the CPI this week. It comes out on Tuesday, ahead of the Fed meeting. And the CPI, at this stage, the market's looking for 0.3% for both the headline CPI month-on-month and also for the core CPI, taking out food and energy prices, also looking for 0.3%. If that's the case, it will bring the annual inflation rate down again in the US to 7.3% from 7.7, and the core CPI will come down from 6.3 to 6.1. But just bearing in mind that, you know, we've got to get a lot less than 0.3s if we're going to get anywhere near the Fed's 2% inflation target over time. If you're running 0.3s a month, you know, you're annualising well and truly in the mid-3s and higher. So, you know, one thing we don't want with the number this week is an upside surprise. But, you know, we really need to get consistently into 0.1s and 0.2s on month-on-month basis if we're really going to get that inflation rate back in check over the medium term. And that's obviously what the Fed will be watching when we get to the FOMC meeting running through Wednesday and Thursday. And here, yeah, the market is split between whether they do 75 basis points again or whether they do 50. Yeah, either way, we're at 4% for the Fed funds rate. It's either going to go to 4.5 or 4.75 when we get to the meeting this week. And we'll also have their projections for where the rates will be over the next 1 and 2 years. And those projections are very much five to low fives. So, yeah, that's sort of best case, but, you know, it doesn't appear as if the market's really building that in at this point before we can get to a tipping point where things come back. Because to get to a point where the Fed can actually start to ease monetary policy, you have to have the lead indicators of inflation showing some signs of coming back more than they are now. And the key one there is related to the labour market, is the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate has to lift a bit, and it isn't doing that. And so that's where, you know, we still got this pressure for the Fed to keep going over time. So it makes it very, very tricky as we're looking into that first part of 2023. There are some other indicators coming out through the course of the week. They come out after the FOMC. So if anything, you know, they're going to get lost in the wash. But you know, we've got things like November retail sales. We've got some of the regional purchasing manager reports. Yeah, they may be on the softish side, but not soft enough as far as the Fed's concerned. We move then to China. China's going through an interesting phase. You know, President Xi's obviously looked in fear at the various protests that built up on lockdowns, and has started to really start to ease up on restrictions. You know, the markets look at that and say, great, you know, they're going to start to ease up on the restrictions. We'll see the economy bouncing back. It may not be quite as simple as that, because they're likely to get quite a surge in Omicron infection rates, because they've got, you know, certainly a lot lower and a lot less effective vaccination rates than we have in the West. So you know, another problem may be building with the decision that President Xi's made. And the data is still running pretty soft as far as China's concerned. Last week we had their import data out for the month of November. These were way weaker than expected. You know, a lot of people are doing less business with China as it's become a lot less certain. And so exports out of China, market thought they would be down 3.6% year on year. They were down 8.7% year on year. Way down from minus 0.3% the month before, so getting a lot worse. Imports, a proxy for domestic spending in China, and market thought they'd be down 5% year on year. They were down 10.6% year on year, so really, really weak numbers. And yeah, the only saving grace is that when you get growth that weak, it really does help to bear down on inflation. And so we had their November CPI and PPI readings came out. The CPI in China was minus 0.2% month on month. That dragged the annual inflation rate down to 1.6% year on year from 2.1%. And producer prices, they were stayed at minus 1.3% year on year. And just looking at China this week, we get their run of domestic indicators coming out on Thursday for the month of November. All of them look pretty soft relative to where they were the month before. So we've got November fixed asset investment spending. You know, this one has the advantage of policy-driven initiatives, particularly down at the local government level where they're trying to ramp up some of the infrastructure spend there, but still likely to fade to 5.7% year-on-year from 5.8%. Industrial production is expected to come back to 3.8% from 5.0%. Retail sales, which was just horrifically weak the month before when everything was in super lockdown, yeah, there has been some easing on that, and the market thinks we'll get a rebound to plus 3%. Even at plus 3%, it'd be a pretty soft result. Wait and see whether that one comes through. So basically still these soft readings, although the market's starting to change its spots a bit on China and saying that with the restrictions coming off, it may help things a bit. Then moving to Australia, and yeah, sort of last week, you know, obviously, you know, we had both. You know, we had the RBA. You know, they've done another 25 basis points. They've taken the cash rate to 3.1, and at this stage, you know, they're going in small steps. They're monitoring the data as it comes through, and you'd have to say, if you're monitoring the data, that the data that came through was pretty strong. So as we get towards February, it's at this stage, it's highly likely we're going to have to keep doing another quarter. There's still that pressure for them to keep going because they haven't got any of the weakness in the lead indicators that you'd need to be confident that they're going to get inflation down comfortably over time. And you know, key amongst those was really the Q3 GDP read. It's a fairly old reading. You know, this is the third quarter. It takes a while to get the GDP data out. but it was a pretty strong read. It was up 0.6% quarter on quarter, 5.9% year on year. And to put that in some sort of context, we're running about double the strength of any other economy in the OECD at 5.9% year on year in real terms. Our nominal GDP is just off the planet. It was up 0.8%, 13.1% year on year, so considerable strength running through that. And it's domestic spending which is driving it. So domestic spending, household consumption expenditure, was up 1.1%, real terms, quarter on quarter, 11.8% year on year. And so that drove 0.6 percentage points of GDP growth. And private investment spending here drove another 0.2 percentage points of GDP growth. Inside private investment spending, you've got housing in there. Housing was actually flat in terms of contribution. It wasn't weak. The main factors there are that movement in existing housing, when we look at transfer costs there, that was a detraction. So you know, people transacting existing homes was certainly pulling a little bit against GDP. But the building of new homes was surprisingly strong and contributed 0.2 percentage points to GDP. Even in the part which is most interest rate sensitive, in GDP terms, it's looking actually flat, not actually deteriorating that much. So, yeah, this, as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned, means that there's still a fair bit of work to do. The other thing I should have mentioned, too, was right at the beginning of the week, we had the Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge. And for the most recent monthly reading, that was up 1% month on month. That was after a 0.4% increase the month before. So it suggests that the ABS's monthly CPI was just a flash in the pan where we had a bit of a pullback in the annual rate. It does look as if it's going to go up higher with the next reading. And this week we'll be looking at other things which are important to the Reserve Bank. Today we get some minor indicators. So we've got things like ANZ job ads. I say minor. These are still up something like about 50% year on year. They came down by 0.5% for the most recent month, going back a month ago. They've probably come down a little bit more, but you've still got a vast number of job ads relative to the number of people there to fill them in the Australian economy. And we'll hear more about that with the labour force reading, which comes up later this week. With the labour force, November employment market expects there was another rise of 17,000. That was after a 32,200 increase the month before. If the participation rate stays at 66.5%, the unemployment rate still down at 3.4%. To get the Reserve Bank into a position where it can say we've now got a peak in interest rates, they don't have to see inflation coming down. Inflation could still be going up. But you have to have the leads into that inflation rate starting to point pretty strongly towards the possibility of inflation coming back. And so that really is the unemployment rate, because that's what's going to keep the cap on wages. And so the unemployment rate has to go up probably for 2 or 3 months. And what the Reserve Bank's hoping is to do the horrific balancing act, which most central banks are trying to achieve this day. Well, you want to get the unemployment rate up a bit, but not too much. Otherwise, we've pushed ourselves into recession. And actually trying to dial that is near impossible. It's why soft landings are so difficult to achieve. But at the moment, we're still running strong, the tightening of monetary policy. There's a lot of it still in the pipeline. We don't know quite how much softening will come off the back of that. But there's no comfort in the numbers as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned just yet that it can stop tightening policy. Moving to Europe. And last week we had things like retail sales. They were a bit softer, down 1.8% after being up 0.8% the month before. We had a revision, though, to Q3 GDP, and it's actually revised up. So their GDP was 0.3% quarter on quarter. It was 0.2 on the earlier version. So year on year, they're up 2.3%. The earlier edition was 2.1%. So still some background strength there running through some of those European numbers, even though we feel that they're on the edge of recession there and are just about tipping in. And this week in Europe, you know, we have two central banks meeting, the ECB and also the Bank of England. And yeah, both of them look as if they'll probably have to do 50 basis points. For the ECB, that will take their deposit rate up from 1.5% to 2%, and the Bank of England will go from 3% to 3.5%. And both those economies are much closer to recession. They're going into weather-related effects, which will downturn the economy too. You know, it's starting to turn a lot colder there in Europe. So just watching all those as we go through the course of this week. But it's just, as we get towards the end of this calendar year, still can't be certain that we're still near the peak yet in the cash rates for most of these central banks. The economies are still going too strongly. And so, and by the time you get the evidence that things have turned, often you've gone too far anyway, it's an almost impossible task for central banks to dial this accurately at this point. So just watching that as we move towards 2023.